Chapter 12. Soon after, in some other boats or canoes of savages who came on shore 3 or 4 weeks afterwards, and who, carrying on their revels as usual, went off in 2 days' time. This thought terrified them exceedingly, for they concluded, and that not without good cause indeed, that if this fellow came home safe among his comrades, he would certainly give them an account that there were people in the island, and also how few and weak they were. For this savage, as observed before, had never been told, and it was very happy he had not, how many there were, or where they lived. Nor had he ever seen or heard the fire of any of their guns, much less had they shown him any of their other retired places, such as the cave in the valley, or the new retreat which the two Englishmen had made, and the like. The first testimony they had, that this fellow had given intelligence of them was, that about 2 miles after the 6 canoes of savages, with about 7, 8, or 10 men in a canoe, came rowing along the north side of the island, where they never used to come before, and landed, about an hour after sunrise, at a convenient place, about a mile from the habitation of the two Englishmen, where this escaped man had been kept. As the chief Spaniard said, had they been all there the damage would not have been so much, for not a man of them would have escaped. But the case differed now very much, for 2 men to 50 was too much odds. The 2 men had the happiness to discover them about a league off, so that it was above an hour before they landed, and as they landed a mile from their huts, it was some time before they could come at them. Now, having great reason to believe that they were betrayed, the first thing they did was to bind the 2 slaves which were left, and cause 2 of the 3 men whom they brought with the women, who, it seems, proved very faithful to them, to lead them, with their 2 wives, and whatever they could carry away with them, to their retired places in the woods, which I have spoken of above, and there to bind the 2 fellows hand and foot, till they heard farther. In the next place, seeing the savages were all come on shore, and that they had bent their course directly that way, they opened the fences, where the milch cows were kept, and drove them all out, leaving their goats to straggle in the woods, whither they pleased, that the savages might think they were all bred wild. But the rogue who came with them was too cunning for that, and gave them an account of it all, for they went directly to the place. When the 2 poor frightened men had secured their wives and goods, they sent the other slave they had of the 3 who came with the women, and who was at their place by accident, away to the Spaniards with all speed, to give them the alarm, and desire speedy help, and, in the meantime, they took their arms, and what ammunition they had, and retreated towards the place in the wood, where their wives were sent, keeping at a distance, yet so that they might see, if possible, which way the savages took. They had not gone far, but that from a rising ground they could see the little army of their enemies, come on directly to their habitation, and, in a moment more, could see all their huts and household stuff flaming up together, to their great grief and mortification. For this was a great loss to them, irretrievable, indeed, for some time. They kept their station for a while, till they found the savages, like wild beasts, spread themselves all over the place, rummaging every way, and every place they could think of, in search of prey, and in particular for the people, of whom now it plainly appeared they had intelligence. The 2 Englishmen seeing this, thinking themselves not secure where they stood, because it was likely some of the wild people might come that way, and they might come too many together, thought it proper to make another retreat about 1/2 mile farther, believing, as it afterwards happened, that the further they strolled, the fewer would be together. Their next halt was at the entrance into a very thick-grown part of the woods, and where an old trunk of a tree stood, which was hollow and very large. And in this tree they both took their standing, resolving to see there what might offer. They had not stood there long before 2 of the savages appeared running directly that way, as if they had already had notice where they stood, and were coming up to attack them. And a little way farther they espied three more coming after them, and five more beyond them, all coming the same way, besides which, they saw seven or eight more at a distance, running another way, for in a word, they ran every way, like sportsmen beating for their game. The poor men were now in great perplexity, whether they should stand, and keep their posture or fly. But after a very short debate with themselves, they considered that, if the savages ranged the country thus before help came, they might perhaps find their retreat in the woods, and then all would be lost. So they resolved to stand them there, and if they were too many to deal with, then they would get up to the top of the tree, from whence they doubted not to defend themselves, fire excepted, as long as their ammunition lasted, though all the savages that were landed, which was near 50, were to attack them. Having resolved upon this, they next considered whether they should fire at the first two, or wait for the three, and so take the middle party, by which the two and the five that followed would be separated. At length they resolved to let the first two pass by, unless they should spy them the tree, and come to attack them. The first two savages confirmed them also in this resolution, by turning a little from them towards another part of the wood. But the three, and the five after them, came forward directly to the tree, as if they had known the Englishmen were there. Seeing them come so straight towards them, they resolved to take them in a line as they came. And as they resolved to fire but one at a time, perhaps the first shot might hit them all three, for which purpose the man who was to fire put three or four small bullets into his piece, and having a fair loophole, as it were, from a broken hole in the tree, he took a sure aim, without being seen, waiting till they were within about 30 yards of the tree, so that he could not miss. While they were thus waiting, and the savages came on, they plainly saw that one of the three was the runaway savage that had escaped from them, and they both knew him distinctly, and resolved that, if possible, he should not escape, though they should both fire. So the other stood ready with his piece, that if he did not drop at the first shot, he should be sure to have a second. But the first was too good a marksman to miss his aim. For as the savages kept near one another, a little behind in a line, he fired, and hit two of them directly. The foremost was killed outright, being shot in the head. The second, which was the runaway Indian, was shot through the body, and fell, but was not quite dead. And the third had a little scratch in the shoulder, perhaps by the same ball that went through the body of the second, and being dreadfully frightened, though not so much hurt, sat down upon the ground, screaming, and yelling in a hideous manner. The five that were behind, more frightened with the noise than sensible of the danger, stood still at first, for the woods made the sound a thousand times bigger than it really was, the echoes rattling from one side to another, and the fowls rising from all parts, screaming, and every sort making a different noise according to their kind. Just as it was when I fired the first gun that perhaps was ever shot off in the island. However, all being silent again, and they not knowing what the matter was, came on unconcerned, till they came to the place where their companions lay in a condition miserable enough. Here the poor ignorant creatures, not sensible that they were within reach of the same mischief, stood all together over the wounded man, talking, and, as may be supposed, inquiring of him how he came to be hurt, and who, it is very rational to believe, told them that a flash of fire first, and immediately after that thunder from their gods, had killed those two and wounded him. This, I say, is rational, for nothing is more certain than that, as they saw no man near them, so they had never heard a gun in all their lives, nor so much as heard of a gun. Neither knew they anything of killing and wounding at a distance with fire and bullets. If they had, one might reasonably believe they would not have stood so unconcerned to view the fate of their fellows, without some apprehensions of their own. Our two men, as they confessed to me, were grieved to be obliged to kill so many poor creatures, who had no notion of their danger. Yet, having them all thus in their power, and the first having loaded his piece again, resolved to let fly both together among them, and singling out, by agreement, which to aim at, they shot together, and killed, or very much wounded, four of them. The fifth, frightened even to death, though not hurt, fell with the rest, so that our men, seeing them all fall together, thought they had killed them all. The belief that the savages were all killed made our two men come boldly out from the tree, before they had charged their guns, which was a wrong step, and they were under some surprise, when they came to the place, and found no less than four of them alive, and of them two very little hurt, and one not at all. This obliged them to fall upon them with the stocks of their muskets, and first they made sure of the runaway savage, that had been the cause of all the mischief, and of another, that was hurt in the knee, and put them out of their pain. Then the man, that was not hurt at all, came and kneeled down to them, with his two hands held up, and made piteous moans to them, by gestures and signs, for his life, but could not say one word to them, that they could understand. However, they made signs to him to sit down at the foot of a tree hard by, and one of the Englishmen, with a piece of rope yarn, which he had by great chance in his pocket, tied his two hands behind him, and there they left him, and with what speed they could made after the other two, which were gone before, fearing they, or any more of them, should find way to their covered place in the woods, where their wives, and the few goods they had left, lay. They came once in sight of the two men, but it was at a great distance. However, they had the satisfaction to see them cross over a valley towards the sea, quite the contrary way from that which led to their retreat, which they were afraid of. And being satisfied with that, they went back to the tree, where they left their prisoner, who, as they supposed, was delivered by his comrades, for he was gone, and the two pieces of rope yarn with which they had bound him lay just at the foot of the tree. They were now in as great concern as before, not knowing what course to take, or how near the enemy might be, or in what number, so they resolved to go away to the place where their wives were, to see if all was well there, and to make them easy. These were in fright enough, to be sure, for though the savages were their own countrymen, yet they were most terribly afraid of them, and perhaps the more for the knowledge they had of them. When they came there, they found the savages had been in the wood, and very near that place, but had not found it, for it was indeed inaccessible, from the trees standing so thick, unless the person seeking it had been directed by those that knew it, which these did not. They found, therefore, everything very safe, only the women in a terrible fright. While they were here they had the comfort to have seven of the Spaniards come to their assistance. The other ten, with their servants, and Friday's father, were gone in a body to defend their bower, and the corn and cattle, that were kept there, in case the savages should have roved over to that side of the country, but they did not spread so far. With the seven Spaniards, came one of the three savages, who, as I said, were their prisoners formerly, and with them also came the savage whom the Englishman had left bound hand and foot at the tree. For it seems they came that way, saw the slaughter of the seven men, and unbound the eighth, and brought him along with them, where, however, they were obliged to bind again, as they had the two others who were left, when the third ran away. The prisoners now began to be a burden to them, and they were so afraid of their escaping, that they were once resolving to kill them all, believing they were under an absolute necessity to do so for their own preservation. However, the chief of the Spaniards would not consent to it, but ordered, for the present, that they should be sent out of the way to my old cave in the valley, and be kept there, with two Spaniards to guard them, and have food for their subsistence, which was done, and they were bound there hand and foot for that night. When the Spaniards came, the two Englishmen were so encouraged, that they could not satisfy themselves to stay any longer there. But taking five of the Spaniards, and themselves, with four muskets and a pistol among them, and two stout quarter staves, away they went in quest of the savages. And first they came to the tree, where the men lay that had been killed, but it was easy to see that some more of the savages had been there, for they had attempted to carry their dead men away, and had dragged two of them a good way, but had given it over. From thence they advanced to the first rising ground, where they had stood, and seen their camp destroyed, and where they had the mortification still, to see some of the smoke, but neither could they here see any of the savages. They then resolved, though with all possible caution, to go forward towards their ruined plantation. But, a little before they came thither, coming in sight of the seashore, they saw plainly the savages all embarked again in their canoes, in order to be gone. They seemed sorry at first, that there was no way to come at them, to give them a parting blow, but, upon the whole, they were very well satisfied to be rid of them. The poor Englishmen being now twice ruined, and all their improvements destroyed, the rest all agreed to come and help them to rebuild, and assist them with needful supplies. Their three countrymen, who were not yet noted for having the least inclination to do any good, yet as soon as they heard of it, for they, living remote eastward, knew nothing of the matter till all was over, came and offered their help and assistance, and did, very friendly, work for several days, to restore their habitation and make necessaries for them. And thus in a little time they were set upon their legs again. About 2 days after this, they had the farther satisfaction of seeing three of the savages' canoes come driving on shore, and, at some distance from them, two drowned men, by which they had reason to believe, that they had met with a storm at sea, which had overset some of them, for it had blown very hard the night, after they went off. However, as some might miscarry, so, on the other hand, enough of them escaped to inform the rest, as well of what they had done, as of what had happened to them, and to whet them on to another enterprise of the same nature, which they, it seems, resolved to attempt, with sufficient force to carry all before them, for except what the first man had told them of inhabitants, they could say little of it of their own knowledge, for they never saw one man, and the fellow being killed, that had affirmed it, they had no other witness to confirm it to them. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.